Hey guys, I'm Coach Jake, and if I were an action figure series, this would be like the summer version that you could purchase or stuff that, you know. So we're lucky enough, or blessed enough, I should say, is a much better word, blessed enough to be doing baptisms tonight. And I didn't know exactly what our setup would be. I actually don't think I'll be getting in the baptistry tub the way we have it set up, but I came ready to get wet, which is, it's wonderful to be at a church where you get to get into a baptistry often, you know. And it's a blessing at Maywood. So excited for that. That's what we're building towards in the service tonight. But think about some opportunity that you took for granted that you wish you still had. Anybody raise a hand and want to say?
Mickey's saying, like, back when he was in his addiction, you know, he was in it for so long, and he used to be able to call his mom, but he didn't call her for about a year in his addiction. And when he did finally try to call, she had actually passed away 8 months before that. And so he had missed that opportunity for that conversation. And so that is a heavy, heavy opportunity that it's easy to take for granted for a long time. And then now it's not there. So the last 6 weeks or so, she's been having severe headaches, and she just misses waking up and just not having a headache. She just took that for granted, waking up and feeling good. And for the last 6 weeks, it's not been like that. We'll do one more. Anybody feel like, man, I used to take for granted this thing I had, but it's so precious, and now I wish I didn't. Yes. So I didn't raise my children, and now they're 17 and 31. Yeah, I missed that opportunity. So there's a lot of stories. All of us actually have something we used to take for granted that we wish we could have back. And as you go through life, there's, unfortunately, there's probably more of that ahead. There's people you love that you could call today that you won't be able to call somewhere down the road, you know? Okay, so I asked those three questions, and you're like, Jake, where did you get those from? We're gonna be looking at Ephesians chapter 3. I'm gonna read a whole chunk to you, and then I'm gonna tell you where those questions kind of sprang from within that passage, okay? So stick with me. Stick with me through it, and okay, so chapter 3, verse 1. So for this reason, which if you're here last week, the reason he's talking about is in Jesus, God's building us, a group of people together, to be the place for God to dwell. That God's big goal is to live with us. That's our goal, is to be put together so God can hang out with us and live life with us. So for this reason, I, Paul, the guy writing this letter, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for the sake of you Gentiles, so Paul's literally a prisoner because of the stuff he's doing for Jesus, he says, surely you've heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. If you don't know about that, if you're coming to that Sunday school class with Gabby and friends, they're going through the book of Acts. If you read Acts, you'll hear about Paul's testimony quite a bit about how God showed up in his life. He says, God's grace given to me for you. He says, that is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I've already written briefly. In reading this, then, you'll be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it's now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. Stick with me. We'll explain kind of this. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. So the reason that we're not cheering as we read that is probably because it's a little hard to take in. But it's a big deal what he's talking about right there. So verse 3 through 6, what he's saying is, I'm special only because Jesus revealed something to me. Something that people for thousands of years didn't know. Because we take for granted this idea that if we want a relationship with God, we can have it. We take it for granted. It's like this pending thing. Like, well, when I'm ready, I'll get around to it. It'll just be there for me. For thousands of years, most people did not have a good shot at having a relationship with God. The vast majority of people had a rough time having a relationship with God. Especially, I mean, nobody had anything like what we're being offered Coach Daniel and others are leading us into this idea of talk to God, realize God wants to get to you and he's going to do the hard work. There's a whole bunch of people who lived their whole lives thinking they had to do all sorts of hard work to ever get anywhere close, to get within miles of God. So we take for granted what he's talking about right there. Paul's saying for the first time, God's opened the doors to everybody and God's literally done all the legwork to get you right to that door. And you just got to walk through. So that first question I asked about what's the big opportunity from your past, whether it's your health or a family member or a giant opportunity, which one did you blow and now you wish that you hadn't? Which one did you say, man, I wish I would have done this differently. I wish I could call that person one more time. I wish I could go for a walk with that person one more time. I wish I could have those 17 years back. And maybe you do anything for a phone call. Some people get to that spot. The truth is, I'm telling you the truth from this passage in Ephesians, is this open door to have a great relationship with God, it will not stay open forever. It is open right now, and you will forever regret if you don't walk through that door and say, yes, Jesus, I want that relationship with you. It's a big deal that he's giving you the chance. But we all know how easy it is to have this golden thing and then just not ever notice it. And we don't pay attention. I didn't pay attention to the fact that I woke up today without a headache. But if I wake up the next 6 weeks with a headache, I'm going to notice a day where I wake up without a headache, right? As soon as that door shuts and God says, you've had your chances, Donnie Moat's always talking about another chance. There's a whole lot of chances with God. But at some point, that door shuts. And you're going to think, oh, I wish I just had one more chance with God. So here's the big opportunity we all have. What Stanley was talking about, I want to study the Bible and help people. What he's saying there is I want to love God and I want to love other people. That's the opportunity we have. We have it by grace, okay? So that very first, the last four verses I read, that's what that's about. And the baptisms we're going to do tonight, that's what they're about. A baptism is just a symbol. It's like a wedding ceremony is a symbol for a marriage. A baptism is a symbol where when you go down into the water, you're saying, just like Jesus went into the tomb and raised again, I want to die to live him for myself. And I want to accept his grace and have a new life. That's the whole symbol. And that's all we're doing as Christians. The rest of the time is walking out that new life. Okay? So, that's the big opportunity we have. We don't want to mess up. I do want to point out the first couple verses there, though, because you might read about Paul and think, wait, okay, there's thousands of people. There's King David and all these people that we read about in the Old Testament. Why is Paul such a guy that Jesus gives him this giant revelation, like knocks him down and says, look, you're going to follow me, and gives him this big vision? Like, why did Jesus pick Paul? I don't know exactly why Jesus picked Paul, but if you want to have a really close relationship with Jesus, I think you can learn something from the first two verses in chapter 3, okay? So, and by the way, like, that's the only way a relationship with Jesus works. You gotta want to be close to him, or you're not going to get any of them. Like, if you don't want a lot, you're not going to get any, okay? So, verse 1 here says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Paul was in prison, and we hear a lot about prison actually at Maywood. I've learned a lot about prison since becoming pastor at Maywood, or even just being around Maywood. There's all sorts of things I didn't know about pods and about how brushing your teeth and, you know, all sorts of stuff I didn't know anything about until I started coming to Maywood, right? But what I can tell you about the little bit I know about, like, Roman prison stuff is that, like, we've not experienced anything like what Paul was literally in, like, a dungeon type of setting. And when stuff would happen with the middle of the night with Paul, the jailer would say, bring in some light. And that means, like, there's literally no light in the whole place. It's just this, like, dank underground, like, pit. You know, it's like where he's staying. He says, I'm a prisoner for you Gentiles. Gentiles are a group of people that, like, Paul in his old life, he would have said, like, they're worth nothing. I'm better than them. And now Paul's saying, I'm willing to live in a dungeon for the people that I used to think didn't matter. If you want to be the type of person that Jesus really shows up in and shows you special things and comes right up next to you, make it worth Jesus's while. Like, be the type of person who says, I'm willing to suffer. I'm willing to move from the beach. Not that Independence is a dark dungeon, hopefully, you know, but like, I'm willing to do things for people that I used to not care about before I knew Jesus, right? Tonight, I'm super proud of you, Maywood. Tonight, I had this super like guilt trip I laid on everybody in the Sunday school class back there about like wearing masks, you know, but it was about this idea of like, let's show love to each other. And some of us are scared to be around. Like, I've had conversations with people who like, I want to be here, but there's not enough people wearing masks. So I told that to people in the back, and I think like two people, Bryce and I think, were the only two people with masks in that other area. But as soon as I started talking about like, hey, some of the folks that helped make Maywood possible want you to wear a mask, like, everybody was into wearing a mask then, right? And they're wearing them right now. And it's this idea of, we're willing to suffer because nobody likes the masks. I mean, as far as like physically wearing them, like, we didn't wear them before because no one's like, oh, this is so fresh and nice on my face. But we're willing to suffer for something bigger, right? For something better, that we say, like, we care about each other. We want to be a family. And so we want to take care of each other, right? So, final thing from verse 2 here. Verse 2. It says, surely you heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. Most of us, when we become Christians, we're very interested in God's grace because we know we've made some mistakes and we know that we need help. But Paul, at this point in his life, said, I was given all this grace for you, for this other group of Christians. And I think when God dumps out a truckload of grace, like he has in each of our lives, his dream is for us to use that grace to help other people. To say, Jesus set me free of my old addictions. Jesus set me free of the stuff I'm ashamed of. Jesus set me free of the stuff I could never do. He made me courageous when I was fearful. He made me honest. Jesus does those sorts of things for the sake of other people, not so you can have an easy life, not so you can have a life full of tons of possessions or something. He does it so you can help other people. So here's the stuff for you to think about tonight. We talked about those three questions, and I'm wondering for you, like, what's the important question for you? It's okay if all three aren't. What's the one for you? Is it that, wow, I have literally a golden opportunity to be close to Jesus. I don't want to let go of that. I don't want to pass it up. I want to give Jesus a call today. I don't want to wait, right? If you're like that, don't leave without talking to somebody. You know, at a distance, or you know, be safe about it, but talk to somebody about, I want more Jesus in my life. Maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, but you can still want more of Jesus in your life. Maybe you don't even understand quite what's going on here, but you want more of it. Next question that we hit on was, are you going to suffer for a purpose? I think most of us right now are telling ourselves a story about, oh man, if I do this and this and this, then life will be easier. Most of us live day to day thinking that if we can get some stuff done or some stuff squared away or get some other people to do this for us, then our life will be easy or easier. And if you look back at your past, you know that the truth about life is, like, you're going to be suffering up ahead for you. I don't have to know you to know that in front of you is some suffering. Like, life on earth has some suffering to it. It's one of the reasons Jesus came, is that this place is not perfect. This place has some messed up stuff, and it's going to be hard. You don't get to choose whether you suffer or not, but I do believe if you stick with Jesus, he'll let you choose to suffer for a purpose. He'll let you choose to go through something hard for something that matters. Because the truth is, you're going to go through something hard, so you might as well have something that's worth suffering for. Okay? So maybe for you, that's the question you need to focus on, is, what is God calling me to suffer for? Because for Paul, it was the Gentiles. And before he knew Jesus, those were the last people on his mind. And then literally his whole life became about them. So maybe they're not even on your mind yet. Maybe they're not even in your life yet. But God wants you to work for them or suffer for them. Final thing, don't receive God's grace in vain. Jesus is incredibly gracious. If you reach out to him in faith, I don't know that he's going to require more than you if you're like trying to get the absolute bare minimum, if you're one of those type of people. I don't know exactly how that's all going to play out, okay? But I know the best life is to go all in with Jesus. No, the best life is to say, here's all of me, Jesus, all of my shame, all of my things I used to take pride in. Here's all of it. And I want to do something for you. Even when we try to do something for Jesus, we'll fall on our face and we'll have to have Jesus' help. But don't receive that grace and just squander it. Do something with it. Help somebody with it. So I talked a whole lot tonight. Instead, you know, we've been closing in a response of prayer where you guys get to like decide what to do. There's something cooler tonight up ahead of us. So, I mean, even though, I mean, those prayers are good, but we get to see salvation kind of played out in these baptisms, okay? And Carla is going to introduce all this to us because she and Brian lead our baptism ministry team. And so here's the thing I would ask of you guys. Like, as this is happening, sometimes you kind of check out, like, oh, this is okay, this is fun, this is cool. We are going to pray at the end for the folks getting baptized, and I need you to be on your game when we pray, okay? Darren's going to lead us in that. We'll talk about that here in a minute. But first, if you're getting baptized, come on down. I feel like a little bit like I'm on The Price is Right. All of a sudden, it's like, dun, 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 dun. But you can come down to us, and Carla, I'll let you tell us more.
Hello. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Carla Rose, and my husband and I teach a baptism class, and it is, the purpose of it is we want to make sure when someone is being baptized, they know and understand the decision that they're making, and that they understand what it means. And so Brian and I teach that class. Brian is actually here tonight. Usually when we have baptisms, he's in the background and no one ever sees him. So Brian, stand up real fast, so in case people don't know you, take your mask off so they can see you. Okay. So he's glad to actually be out here tonight. So we are going to start another baptism class this coming Wednesday, and Mickey is going to be in it. Hello, Mickey. I did know who you were. So if anyone else would like to be in the class, or if you know of someone that would like to come and do that, we'll be meeting here Wednesday evening at 6:30. So this coming Wednesday, June the 30th, and we'll meet down here at these doors, and then we'll decide whether we're going to stay in the parking lot. If it's a small group, I hope maybe Jake will let us go inside. We'll see. Okay, so tonight we were supposed to have four baptisms. We had two people that took the class in March, and they were going to be baptized March the 29th. But as we all know, that did not happen. So those two people actually cannot be here tonight. So we only have two other people, and this is Earl and Gayla Follett. They are a married couple. Gayla will be baptized first. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Gayla. Gayla, when she came to our class, we talked about what you know about God. And she said, well, I have attended a couple of churches here in Independence. And the last church I attended, every time I would go, I would feel this tugging in my heart. I knew that I felt like I needed to do something. But she goes, I didn't really know that many people at church. And I just kind of stayed in the background. And she goes, I never went forward or did anything. And then I finally just kind of stopped going. And then she and Earl got some significant, not so great news within the last year. And I'll talk about that in a little bit. But as a result of that, it had both her and Earl contemplating life after death. And so she used to work with Chrissy Taylor. And so she called Chrissy and said, this stuff has happened in our life. We're feeling like we need to be baptized and just know what's going on. And so Chrissy said, absolutely, come to the class. And Gayla knew that Jake was the pastor of Maywood, so that's how they ended up here. So Gayla is very happy to be back getting baptized. She's very happy to know and understand what it's all about. She kind of knew already, but it just kind of confirms what she has always known. And she's just very glad to have this aspect of her life figured out. So Gayla, if you want to go on over there, I think it might be somewhat awkward, but Jake is going to help you. And Chrissy was going to be here tonight and pray for Gayla, but they had babysitting problems, and so Jake is going to baptize Gayla and pray for her.
I got it. Let me close this in prayer. Jesus, thank you for your grace. We depend on you. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.